the truth and no one else has it, we'll talk about that. But first, let's pray. And look, I'm feeling kind of good about myself. I bought fresh market fruit for snacks. I know, contain yourself, it's hard. But like, got some pineapple, honeydew. That's how we do it at the PCA. So let's pray. God, thank you so much for today. Thank you for all your many blessings you continue to bestow upon us. Thank you for each and every person here. We pray, God, that your Holy Spirit would move and that we would understand you and the faith better. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, isn't it narrow-minded? Come on in here! Yay!
Boss lady.
Oh, hey.
You're
amazing.
Not yet, though.
Oh, I want to talk to you about that afterwards. Congrats, by the way. I'm the way, the truth, and life. No other man and no one can come to the Father except through me. You've probably heard that verse before. Isn't that narrow-minded? That's the number one problem many people have with Christianity, believe it or not. This is where the label narrow-minded, bigot, all that stuff comes with this one phrase from Christ. A large portion of the U.S., particularly the younger you go, cannot believe that in 2017 there's a group of people who say they have the truth and the other people don't. People, like, it's shocking. How arrogant. How arrogant can you be? So what say ye? What do you say about this? Is this arrogance? Oh, I just spelled that. I came to bring a sword, I'm supposed to say. Not I can. Think about this. If all religions are equally true, somebody's got to be wrong. Right? Mm-hmm. Somebody's got to be wrong. Some faith system has to be flawed because it's illogical to think that all of them are equally true. Because they all contradict each other. They all can't be true. Faith systems say different things about how reality works, the origin of the universe, all this other stuff. Main vibe of the world right now is this. My favorite movie of all time is called A River Runs Through It. I don't know if you've ever seen it. It's very what they call humanistic. There's not much cussing or anything like that in it. But the message, it's about two Presbyterian preacher's sons. So I kind of connect there. I have a brother, and we fished all the time growing up. But spoiler alert, it closes with an old man fishing by, fly fishing right by the river. And it's his inner monologue, and he's saying basically this. All rivers lead to the ocean. All paths lead to the same destination. You get what he's saying? It doesn't matter what you believe. They're all equal, and they all get you to the same place. As long as you're a loving person who lived the right way, you will go wherever the good people go. That's the message. That's the message of the world right now. I mean, isn't it wrong to insist that one faith is greater than another? Isn't that kind of wrong? That's what they're saying. In fact, many people say that there's a lack of peace in our world because of claims like these. Like, there's all this fighting in the world because one group says, mine are better than yours. My faith is better or has the truth and yours doesn't. And so they point to that and say, you're the reason why there's wars out there. Look at history. Look at the, way back, the Crusades. Well, the claim that our faith is better than any other truth, maybe that's why people fight, they say, but maybe that's not the right way to word it. Because of all this, there are three tactics the world uses against our faith, and I'm going to go through each one of those very briefly. That'll be tonight's lesson. I do think that any true believer in Jesus would honestly feel, I don't think they're going to feel like their faith is better than anybody else's. That's not the case. Maybe that's not the right word. Maybe that Christianity doesn't cause anyone to feel superior. That's the thing. Doesn't cause anyone to feel superior. No bragging. But we do have to take seriously the claim of Christ. No one can come to the Father except through me. We have to take that seriously. What does he mean by that? So there's only one true way. That should cause conviction, not pride. We should grieve for people of other faith systems that don't preach Jesus as the only way. But with that said, here are three ways the world deals with this kind of problem. Number one is outlaw it. Outlaw the faith. One way to deal with the divisiveness of our faith has been just to control it. Control it, forbid it, use a heavy hand. There have been several massive efforts to do this in the 20th century. Soviet Union, Communist Russia, a bunch of it, Nazi Germany. They were all determined to tightly control it and make sure that that didn't happen. The result, however, was not more peace and harmony, but more oppression. Anybody know who that guy is? It starts with an M. Chinese dictator. Actually, some people think he killed even more than Hitler. Mao Zedong? Anybody heard of that guy? Yeah? Yeah, now. Oh, yeah. Now there's some head shakes. Yeah. Mao Zedong. Anyway, here's an interesting thing. Tragic irony. The 20th century gave rise to one of the greatest and most distressing paradoxes. And here it is. The greatest intolerance and violence of that century was practiced by those who believe that religion caused intolerance and violence. Did you catch the irony? The greatest intolerance and violence of that century was practiced by those who believe that religion caused intolerance and violence. So there's a group of people out there who outlawed religion and killed a bunch of people because they said religion's wrong and because people die because of it. You don't catch the irony with that. The regimes that came down hard on Christianity for being narrow-minded and exclusive became narrow-minded and exclusive in how they dealt with it. Here's why I'm a post-millennialist. Don't worry about that term if you don't know what it is. Worldwide Christianity has exploded. Many people felt that religion would just die away once we have these, once we have technology, once we have all this other stuff. We would just say, oh, that's what we did way back then. We don't need it anymore. Actually, the reverse is true. Belief in God was simply an evolutionary thing, they thought, but it didn't happen like that. In fact, here are some stats. All major religions have grown, especially Christianity. There are now 6 times more Anglicans in Nigeria than the United States. Did you know that there are more Presbyterians in Ghana than in the U.S. and Scotland combined? Christianity is sort of making a wave, a revival in certain parts of the globe, and it's making its way into China as well. That last one just blows my mind. More Presbyterians now in Ghana, that's one little country, than in the U.S. and Scotland combined. And Presbyterianism started in Scotland. It's crazy. So I see this as like Jesus said, the kingdom of God is like a little leaven that goes into a loaf. I see that happening right now. If you look at the headlines, you're not going to see that. You're going to see a bunch of fighting and all this other stuff. Well, they have a vested interest in you continuing to watch their channel or buy their paper. So they're going to tell you what sells. Bad stuff. And bad stuff is happening, but this is happening too. So anyway, many countries have put forth great effort to try and kill the faith. And what the funny thing is that the faith can be compared to the Incredible Hulk. Any effort to try and kill it makes it stronger. History has proven that to be the case. Any effort any country has done to kill it only makes it stronger. It has a little dip. Like, yeah, you do wipe it out for a little bit, but it always, in that region, comes back a bit stronger. So in the United States, no one's trying to kill it. We have persecution. We have social snubbing. Like, you might be called a loser or something like that. You might not get invited to the party, something like that. But we really don't have, like, you're going to die because of it here. So really, the places with a vibrant faith that's changing the world is exactly the same place it's illegal to be a Christian. The places with like a vibrant, like, yes, that faith will change the world is where it's illegal. And I think there's a relationship between that. So we can say for a fact, the first method of trying to do away with faith, outlawing it, does not work. It cannot work. We're all religious to one degree or another. It's part of being a human. Not only that, every place that's been outlawed has only served to help it grow and spread. Number two, condemn religion. Anyone seen that? That beautiful movie from the 80s? You've seen that? Footloose? You've seen that? Oh, yeah. He has a rough day, right? Like we all do. What does he do? He finds an abandoned warehouse. It just dances in there. Just him. Just a silhouette of him. Just cutting flips. You can tell it's some gymnastic guy. You can tell it's not him. But then, like, the last scene is him going, oh, I love it. Maybe you can't do away with the faith by governmental control, but maybe you can do away with it through mocking it, through the media, through movies. making it uncool through movies, right? I don't know if you know the story. The guy shows up and he falls madly in love with the preacher's daughter. And the preacher's like the stereotypical kind of guy. He's like, we don't do that dancing around here. We love our Bibles. And the movie's message was just Christianity is a, if you have any fun, Christianity's there to make sure it doesn't happen. So social pressure. There are many paths and every faith is equal. Well, as you know, this has worked somewhat, but again, it can't be the answer. The great hypocrisy at the center of the attempt to condemn Christianity is this. Right now, the thing preached in secular classrooms and on movies and TV shows is that the message that all religions and faith systems lead to the same destination. How dare you be so narrow-minded? How dare you do this? That's called groupthink. Put enough pressure on people, social pressure, maybe Christians will kind of just be quiet about it. Here, hold on a second, though. So here's what I heard in the late 90s. The social pressure was, don't be such a narrow-minded person who thinks that Jesus is the only way. All faiths are equal. So there's a lot of social pressure in school when I was going there. But this happened. And here's... This guy showed up in 1997. There was a comet flying through the sky. And literally, he looked like that. And he looked in the TV. It was the creepiest thing. Who would like to join me to paradise? It was very scary. And they all died. Like, it's part of a cult. Now, who's honestly going to sit there and go, that faith is just as good as all the other faith? You're not going to do that. You can honestly look at that and go, that guy's an idiot. And he shouldn't follow them. But that was kind of hypocritical for people. So they didn't know what to do with that. Because they just said, all faiths are equal. Don't be so narrow-minded. I think we can all take a second and go, maybe that one's not, you know. But here's what one journalist wrote. Anyone who believes that there are inferior religions is a right-wing extremist. Do we really want to say that the Branch Davidians or this guy or even the religions that require child sacrifice from earlier in history are on par with all other religions? The great majority of people would almost certainly agree that they're not. So to say that one religion is better than another, this guy says, you're a right-wing nut if you say that. Well, what do you do with the Aztec religion where like literally like... You go up to the top of the pyramid and they rip your heart out, you know, for good crops the next year. You're going to point to that and say, that's good too. No. Are you seriously going to say that that's not an inferior religion? You seriously going to say that that belief system isn't messed up? But some people will stop and say, okay, you're talking about splinter groups. What if freak groups? We're talking about the world's major religions out there. Who believe in the same God. The new argument is this, that every religion sees the same spiritual truth, but not the entire truth. So I don't know if you've heard of this kind of analogy. All faiths are like somebody grabbing, like blind men grabbing an elephant. And this guy goes, it's a spear, I can tell. And this guy goes, no, it's a snake. And that guy goes, no, it's a tree. They're all getting a little bit of the truth, but no one grabs it fully. That's the argument about faith. What's messed up about that? Anybody see that that's kind of messed up? In order for that analogy to work, someone has to know the complete truth and has to know that there's an elephant there. Someone has to stand over it and know the complete truth. That does not hold up. That thing where someone says Christianity is so narrow-minded, everyone has a claim of the truth, is forgetting that there is an assumption that the speaker knows what the truth is all about. In a word, it's hypocritical. So here, I love this quote. Here's a journalist. And here he's writing about these Christians who are so narrow-minded and think Jesus is the only way. And here's what he wrote. I wanted to cast doubt. This is about a student he had who became a Christian and he couldn't believe it. He's like, what are you doing? Don't be one of those guys. I wanted to cast doubt on the step he was about to take to help him see that there are other ways to live, other ways to seek knowledge, love, even self-transformation. I wanted to convince him
that his dignity depended on maintaining a free, skeptical attitude towards doctrine. I wanted to save him. And then he says this, doubt, like faith, has to be learned. It's a skill. But the curious thing about skepticism is that all the people who adhere to it, ancient and modern, have so often been proselytizers. In other words, we've been trying to spread our gospel. In reading them, I've often wanted to ask, why do you care? Their skepticism offers no good answer to that question, and I don't have one for myself. So basically, his argument is this. He caught himself going, no, don't be a Christian, when one of his students became a Christian in this college. No, don't do that. And then he goes, wait a minute. I'm trying to spread my gospel to him. And this is the exact same thing I'm getting on to him for. And then he just kind of throws his hands up and goes, oh, well, I don't know what to do with that. It's kind of hypocritical and ironic. He said, I'm trying to convert this guy to my way of thinking. I'm not really religious, according to him, but I'm still trying to make this guy believe the same things I believe, which is why I'm trying to talk him out of it. Interesting. I have had atheists try to convert me because my faith tries to convert people. I kid you not. I've had people who were atheists try to convert me because my faith tries to convert people, and they couldn't see it. Like, you don't see that? You're trying to do the same thing on me that you're charging that I do. They have sought to make me an atheist, and part of the reason for them trying to make me believe that was because they can't get over a faith system that has the gall to try to make people believe what they believe. We're all exclusive in what we believe. We're all exclusive in what we believe. Everyone believes their system is superior, otherwise they wouldn't believe it. Okay, number three, just keep it to yourself. Let's just privatize it. This is the final way the world is trying to kind of do away with Christianity. Just keep it yourself. Don't try to... If that's fine with you, fine. Fine. Just don't try to spread it. Believe what you want. Just keep it out of everyone's life. Keep your beliefs private. I don't know if you remember, but we just had a March for Science not too long ago. And here was the concern. We don't want religion playing a part in policy making. That was the thing. We want science to play a part in policy making. We don't want religion being advanced in our schools. We want knowledge deeply rooted in science advanced in our schools. So keep what you believe away from policy, away from schools that affects anybody. It's fine to believe it, just keep it on your side of the road. But to counter that, I would say this, you can't get away from belief systems. Everybody has one. The bathroom laws from a year ago, I don't know if you remember this or not. There shouldn't be boys or girls' rooms, remember all that? As a father of a three-year-old at the time, that would have deeply affected my day-to-day kind of activity. I would have been affected by someone else's belief system. A belief system would have made that law. The belief that genders are something we assign, they're not God-given, that would have forced me to go into each and every restroom with my son to check it out to make sure it was safe. So you see how that works? You can't keep belief systems to yourself at all. There's no such thing as a belief system-free environment. There'll be a vacuum, and you know what a vacuum is? It's an empty spot. And what happens in a vacuum is it demands to be filled, and some other belief system will come in there and do it. That's exactly what happens. So the Bible was taken out of schools about 50 years ago. What's been kind of inserted is sort of like this humanism thing. Sort of like, you know, we all evolved in that kind of thing. That's kind of happened. It's impossible to separate deeply held convictions on how you believe the world started and should be run. It's impossible to separate that from politics, from how you view the world, from all that other stuff. You can't stay neutral. So actually, it is true that religions can cause wars and cause divisions, but the argument shifts here to actually Christianity is the way to save the world. The only faith system that has the resources within itself to get rid of toxic hate and tendencies that are within each and every human heart. Christianity provides a firm basis for actually respecting people of other faiths. So we were on a boat not too long ago, about 2 or 3 weeks ago, Boston doing that whole thing. It was awesome. We found out. How do I word this?
the port where our whale trip was going to be is sort of like the San Francisco of the East Coast. And not only that, they had the week called Carnival going on. So it was very in your face. A lot of flags all over the place. A lot of stuff in your face. And lo and behold, beside me is a couple. And they're going on the boat with us. And it's very obvious that we are the minority by a long shot. But thank goodness that the Holy Spirit had a hold of me. And I'm not saying, not doing this at all. Not patting myself on the back. But what I kind of encountered as I talked to them was I grieved for them. They're blinded right now. And I didn't see them as those people over there. As I talked to them, I saw them as people made in the image of God. And Orthodox Christianity, praise the Lord, will cause that, not get away. It will cause that to happen. So anyway, if you don't mind, let's go to Matthew 5:16. Matthew 5:16, these are the two verses we kind of have going. We usually get all into the Word. You're just kind of catching us on a weird week, so I apologize. Matthew 5:16. If anybody has that, please read that.
Yeah, same way, like your lights are shining before men, so that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven.
Right. So light by its nature just shines. Light attracts. It doesn't repel. And then one more, 1 Peter 2:12. 1 Peter 2:12. And anybody who gets that, just go ahead.
Keep your conduct among the Gentiles honorable, so that when they speak against you as evildoers, they may see your good deeds and glorify God in the day of visitation.
Very good. Keep your conduct honorable among the Gentiles. Among non-believers, keep your conduct honorable. There was a head football coach, I hate to say it, he prided himself on his faith. He recently got fired for seeing ladies who were not his wife. And that was the one card he pulled. I am a man of faith. And I don't know where he stands with the Lord. I grieve for him. But that kind of stuff is what makes the world go, see, you're just like us. Peter right there goes, keep your conduct pure. So that when they charge you with something, they won't have evidence. Christians believe that all human beings are made in the image of God, capable of goodness and wisdom. Christianity not only leads its members to believe people of other faith have goodness and wisdom to offer, it leads them to expect that many will lead lives superior to theirs, morally. Non-believers. I have a good friend. He's a great friend. And he recently told me, he said, I don't know if you know my family history, my brother is a very outspoken homosexual. Not a believer. He puts me to shame, morally speaking. He is out there doing, you know, I tell people that all the time. He's doing all kinds of selfless service and things like that. Christianity, though, kind of acknowledges that. It should expect to find non-believers who are much more nicer, kinder, wiser, and better than they are. Why? Because Christian believers are not accepted by God because of our performance, wisdom, or virtue, but because of Christ's work. So that's sort of how that works. So I've, as I just said, a good friend of mine, that's exactly the thing. We don't perform our way into being accepted by God. It's always His grace that makes our heart want to truly obey. And listen to this. The Greco-Roman world's religions were open and seemingly tolerant. Everyone had his or her own God. The practices of the culture were quite brutal. The Greco-Roman world was highly stratified economically. Huge distance between rich and poor. By contrast, Christians insisted that there was only one true God, the dying Savior, Jesus Christ. Their lives and practices were welcoming to those who were marginalized. The early Christians mixed people from different races and classes into ways that seemed scandalous to those around them. The Greco-Roman world tended to despise the poor, but Christians gave generously not only to their own poor, but to those of other faiths. In broader society, women had very low status, being subjected to infanticide, forced marriages, and lack of economic equality, but Christianity afforded women much greater security. During the terrible urban plagues of the first two centuries, Christians cared for the sick and dying. So here's how this happened in Roman times. it wasn't so much abortion, it was they would have the child, drop it off at a trash heap. Literally. Guess who adopted those children? Christians. Brought a whole generation up, and it wowed the people. The non-believing world looked at that and said, what kind of God do they have to where they would do that? And then a plague ran through Rome one year. Guess who stayed behind and got sick themselves caring for the sick? Christians, who took their faith very seriously. And what did the world do with that? What kind of God do they have to give of themselves like that? Christians cared for the sick and dying, often at cost to their lives. Why would such an exclusive belief system lead to behavior that was open to others? It was because Christians had within them their belief system the strongest possible resource for practicing sacrificial service. Praying for their forgiveness, their enemies. Reflection on this could only lead to a radically different way of dealing with those who are different from them. It meant that they could not act in violence and oppression toward their opponents. So don't skip lightly over the fact that there have been injustices done by the church in the name of Christ. That's happened. Yet who can deny that the force of Christians' most fundamental beliefs can be a powerful thing to get peace actually in the world? So just some things to think through. Those are awesome pictures, Thomas. But just some things to think through. You're going to hear this if you haven't already. Did you hear that, USC Aiken? Something to that effect?
I'm sorry.
Something about the exclusivity? Uh-huh. You did hear something about that, maybe? You're going to hear it. And I'm not necessarily giving you tools for your tool belt. I'm just telling you, kind of, well, this is how it works out. there has to be one belief system that is the truth. All of them can't be true. They all contradict each other. B, actually, if you look at history, Orthodox Christianity has done very, very good in the world. And C, I can't remember what the other one was. No one keeps their beliefs to themselves about anything. It's impossible. So let's pray. And really, this is not so much a practical, here's how you live your life thing. So we're just going to have prayer requests and kind of see how you're doing in school as we break off into groups. And then we're going to beat y'all to the snacks and get them first. I'm kidding. But anyway, let's just take a second. Lord, thank you so much for your word. Thank you for who you are. And Lord, it is a tough pill to swallow. It is exclusive. Lord, there is only one way to the Father, to you, and that is through the work of your Son. But that is not something that causes us to feel superior or better than anyone. That causes us to grieve those who don't believe it, so that we would have them know the knowledge. God, bless everyone here for this week coming up in school. Lord, may it be a blessing. Lord, I pray for all the stress that's about to happen, God, that they would rely on you for all this. We ask this, Lord, in Jesus' name, amen. Amen.